Good morning. Sounds like everybody had a good night. My family and I enjoyed a good night of rest at Brother Ray and his family. We're grateful for their hospitality. And as one thing our family enjoys, as we get the opportunities to serve in these kinds of occasions, especially when we're further from home, we usually don't travel back and forth. So maybe that'll scare some congregations from having us because we got to host that guy. But we are grateful. We enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy the time of being in other congregations, and we enjoy the fellowship we experienced here last evening and looking forward to a special day. I shared some last evening, a little bit about our family's journey, job-wise. I'm a dairy farmer. I didn't do much else besides milking cows my 40-some years of life. That's about what I know. I think we served, as many may have learned to know us first, when we served as house parents in Maine at the BVS unit. That was in 2003, 2004. Joanna Hilty, as I knew her at that time, she's no longer Hilty, was one of our VS daughters that year. And that helped me get acquainted with the Brethren Fellowship. I grew up as a Mennonite. And the first 12 years of my married life, we attended my home congregation. And I served in that congregation as a pastor for nine some years. And the Lord moved us to Heidelberg. We attended there not knowing what the next step is. One night, three of our children stood to accept the Lord. Now we need to make a decision. We still weren't members at Heidelberg, and one thing that wasn't an option was my family was not going to participate in Love Feast without Dad. We were going to participate in communion, as I would have called it growing up, and so we made the choice to become brethren, and it's been good. God is alive in the Brethren Church, and don't let go of that idea. So far, what I said is not in my notes. But I wanted to share a little bit of our journey because this morning's message is out of our journey of the past 10 years. How God's word spoke to me and to my family and carried us along. And we went through a valley, and at the moment in our lives, I would say we're at the mountaintop. But I'm scared to celebrate the mountaintop because some of you are in the valley. Some people asked last night, what's the end of the story? But I don't want to share the end of our story because some of you are in the valley, and that's a tough time. And so I want to share this morning with you the scriptures that carry me from day to day, that we are where we are and we're still in the faith. That's my goal this morning, is to share some scriptures that you can grab a hold of, and it'll carry you through the journey. And we will share a little bit. Hopefully we don't take up too much time where God has taken us. I'd like to start off with this story. The message is entitled, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And it's borrowed from 50-day spiritual adventure. David Maines in the mid-90s did some 50-day spiritual journeys our congregation had involved in. And one of the titles, one of those spiritual journeys was entitled this, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. The story is told of an artist, two artists, who were putting the finishing touches on a painting, and they were on a scaffold high up. They were putting this painting on a church. The young artist was stepping back to enjoy the beauty of what they had just accomplished. And he kept backing up and kept backing up, and the master artist noticed what he was doing. He was going to soon back off the scaffold. And the master artist knew if he didn't do something, the guy was going to go crashing to his death. And so he took the bucket of paint and threw it across their beautiful masterpiece. And the young fellow looked, what are you doing? You just messed up our hard work. And then he turned around and realized what he was just about to do. You know, sometimes God does that in our lives. We think things are just about together, and then he splashes something on our lives, and We're discouraged. Why, God, did you do that? And maybe we don't ever know why some things happen. We don't realize we were just ready to crash. But God knew what he was doing. What to do when you don't know what to do. And as I was meditating on this thought in preparation for today, I thought maybe you could add to the title, what to do while you wait on God. Are you waiting on God today? What to do? Psalms 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And I think verse 14 of Psalms 27 also says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalms 37:7-9 and verse 34 goes this way, "Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." What to do when you don't know what to do? On our family's life, we had moved to Heidelberg, and I had been working on the home farm, and we thought we weren't pastoring anymore at the home at Crawls Mennonite, and we thought maybe now's the time for us to get our own farm. So while we were attending Heidelberg, we were looking for farms to rent, and, you know, Paul says we tested the Spirit to see if we should go here and we should go there, and we were visiting different farms and had our horizons kind of broad. Nothing seemed to be happening. Jim Meyer came to Heidelberg and shared about some of the VS opportunities, things that were happening, and they needed house parents in Maine, and that seemed to be something for our family, and we took that opportunity. We served that year in Maine, and I kept hold of my cows. I had somebody else taking care of my cows for me that year, and we said we'll keep them to April after we returned. If farm doesn't turn up by then, we'll do something else. Well, we came home in August, and by December 1st, we were on a rented dairy farm. And we knew that was probably not going to be able to be forever because the landlord had a son that wanted to get married. And when that happens, we will need to find another place. But in the meantime, we were going to enjoy having the opportunity. Well, that time came around, the son got married, and we were given a year's notice. By a year, you're going to need to have another place. And I'm not sure why God can't move in the first month. I haven't figured that one out. You know, it would save a lot of stress in my life and a lot of other people's. But God didn't move. And again, I think we looked at a number of different places. Again, we were testing the Spirit, but we didn't get a clear answer. So what do you do while you're waiting on God? Well, James 1, verses 2 to 4 tells us to count it a joy. Count it a joy that you have an opportunity to trust God to do something. "My brethren, count it a joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, so that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Count it a joy. Romans 5, 1 to 3 tells us, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In the valleys, you can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope we have in God." We rejoice in his salvation. This weekend, we're praising God for the hope that we have, that we're going to live forever in heaven. And we're excited about that. But then Paul says, don't just rejoice in your glory of your hope, rejoice in the glory of your tribulations, knowing again that tribulation worketh patience. So he says, get excited, be happy for the problems and trials you have, for they know they build character. You guys have sign-up sheets here at Pleasant Hill every now and then? Do you ever have a sign-up sheet that says sign up for a trial? How many people are getting in line to sign up for a trial? My sister, she's older than me. When she was probably 18, prayed to the Lord for patience, teach her patience. She was really signing up for a trial. She went skiing the first time and broke her leg. And I always remember she said, I was praying for the Lord to teach me patience. And you know, that wasn't all bad. We looked at it, it might have been a trial that could have been avoided. But God taught her some things. She learned, I don't know what else she learned in that, but I'm sure she learned some patience. Are you willing to sign up for a trial? Because God is going to teach you something. What to do when you don't know what to do, count it a joy. Second thing is write down your God moments as you're going through your valley. Write down the things God is teaching you. At least look for ways for God to teach you. Allow him to carry you. Don't allow other things to carry you. The scripture that was read for us here in 2 Corinthians 1, the verses 3 to 7, God is the one who can comfort us. And he comforts us so we can comfort others. So learn what you can while you're on the journey so that you can share what God is doing and encourage somebody else who is in the valley. As we were on this, we moved our farms twice. So this is we're waiting for the second up. We had to move from the first one. We're waiting for God to provide. And as we were waiting for that first move to provide the next place, there was a farm sale that came up, and we moved in 2010. 2009 economy was really low, land prices weren't as high, and there's a farm that came up for sale, and it was within 5-10 minutes from Heidelberg, and we thought, you know, maybe the economy is low enough that maybe this would be the opportunity for us. We went to that farm sale, and we're excited about it. But even in a downtime, there was other people that had more vision than we did or had more finances behind them. So I went home kind of discouraged. I can't quite remember my feelings. But that next morning, I got up and had my devotions, and I used the daily bread. And the scripture the next morning, you know, God had that ordained and planned for me. Do you know that he guided the writer to have that scheduled for my life that day? Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive, knock and you shall have it open unto you, and seek and you shall find. I use the New Living Translation in my devotions. And the New Living Translation goes this way in that verse 7. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. What happens when you hit a dead end? Too often times we want to stop and have a pity party. And I'm sure I felt that way. But I got that up that next morning and read the word, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on. You know, that I got up that morning, meant milk the cows again. And, you know, I kept on asking. If you come to a dead end, please turn around and keep on looking. Maybe it wasn't a farm. I didn't know that. Maybe it's not where you think you should be, where you're looking for, but keep looking for where God is guiding you. What to do when you don't know what to do? Count it a joy and write it down. Sometimes I would ask God, you know, I'd be discouraged. I know that first farm, I'd be in the cow barn and I'd get on my knees and cry out to God, Lord, I need some sort of encouragement today. I need to see you do something. And I don't know, always remember, he would do something for me. He would give me a word from the Lord, from scripture, or something would dramatically happen. And again, God would just, encourage me. I know one time I prayed that prayer, and I used to walk home from, this would have been an account that happened at the home farm. I had to walk maybe 1,000 feet to my house, and I walked home one night in a snowstorm carrying 2 milk jugs, and I lost the 1 milk lid. It was dark, and the wind was howling, and there was no chance of finding it. Well, I think the next day I came home scooping a path with my skid loader, and one time I dumped the bucket and out rolled the blue lid of the milk jug. And, I was like, yes, God, you're here with me. To dump that milk lid just right out like that. I had asked the Lord to do something. You know, ask God to meet you and he will. Another, the second half of the scripture that was read for us here today in 2 Corinthians 1:8-11 gives us our next points. Trust in a God who can raise the dead. Paul says there in verses 8 to 11 that they were in such a despair they thought they were going to die. Do you believe Apostle Paul could have thoughts like that? the super apostle. But yeah, he's just like you and I. His blood flowed through his body, and he put on his sandals just like you do in the morning. He had to trust God as well. He says we were trusting in ourselves. Too often we want to trust in ourselves, but then he said, I realized I needed to trust in a God who can raise the dead. There isn't anything greater than that to see somebody come back to life. And God has done it and continues to do it. So when you're discouraged, don't trust in yourself. Trust in a God who can raise the dead. That brings a lot of peace. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very familiar scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Jesus also told a parable. Brother Dan Miller was at our church for revivals, and he gave me another note here. In Luke 18, verse 9, Jesus told the parable about the publican and the Pharisee. He told the parable because there were certain people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I think that verse would probably say they were trusting themselves for salvation. But I think we can make the point as well that we don't want to trust our own thinking. We want to trust God's thinking. As we got to the end of that year that we were told we had a whole year to move, I had a desire to trust God. I really wanted to see him come through, and I just felt I had given, my trust was all gone. I didn't have any more trust to give. I was empty. But then I realized, I'm going to trust something. We're designed to trust something. We're going to do that. And so I realized God is the only one that's going to keep me there. And so I stuck with God. Because I could have trusted alcohol, but that would have always left me empty. I could have trusted pleasure. Pleasure only lasts for a moment. I could have trusted things, but that costs a lot of money. I could have trusted myself, but I know I would fail. I could trust people, but they would fail unless they were directed by God. So God spoke to me and said, where else are you going to find results like I offer? Jesus had asked the disciples, I'm not sure where it's found, after a bunch of his disciples had left, he turned to the 12 and said, are you going to leave me as well? And Peter said, no, where else will we go? Where else will we find the faith that you offer? So I decided to keep trusting God. And because of a familiar scripture, Isaiah 40, maybe you want to turn there so you can see it and grasp it again. Isaiah 40, we're going to look at verses 27 to 31. It's familiar, and yet it's new every morning. God's scripture is wonderful. You can read something and read it again and read it again, but depending on your situation, it just kind of jumps out and grabs you again. Isaiah 40, verse 27. It says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Just reading that off the top of my head here, it means we would sometimes feel like God doesn't know our situation. He goes on in verse 28, says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is it weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you wait in the Lord, God is going to give you a reward. And I think God is going to reward us in this life. You're going to get out of your valley. If you truly seek the Lord, God is going to bring you through. Maybe not where you're looking, but where he wants you to be. Do you believe it? Then live it. If you believe it, then run as to win the prize. God desires for us to be faithful, so our story of faith will empower others to his kingdom. We were nearing, it was about 6 weeks till we needed to move, and God still had not provided. And I'm not sure what I was thinking that time, how we were going to, you know, if we needed to be out in 6 weeks, what I was going to do with the farm and where we were going to live. My wife's sister then shared this verse with us from Isaiah 30, verse 18. And talks about why the Lord waits. Isaiah 30, verse 18, you're not far away if you were in Isaiah. It says, "And therefore will the Lord wait. Why? That he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted." You know, the Lord waits so he can give us something, so that he gets some glory. You know, I think he takes it down to the wire because then everybody realizes it was a God thing. It wasn't something of my thinking or somebody else's wisdom. It was only God. And God wants our praise, and so he does things so he gets it. "Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment, and blessed are all they that wait for him." I think it was out somewhere behind the barn working on something, and my wife called me up, "You got another phone call." And the Lord provided we ended up being able to milk 150 cows on a shared milk check and carried us through for 2 years. That prepared us to where we are today. We moved again in April, and we're able to purchase a farm by the grace of God. And again, we were down to, last night I shared what it means to trust the Lord. It means to close a door, not knowing which door is going to open. We thought we were quitting here again in beginning of this year. We had made plans to, we knew where we were going to go with the cows. We were looking to purchase another property to live as a family. And I had hung up the phone with the realtor, being $5,000 away from being in agreement on price. I walked from the bedroom of our house to the kitchen and got another phone call about a farm. And the question was, "Are you still interested in a farm?" And I've heard that question, and I'd rise to the top and get excited and to be dashed again because it wasn't the right thing. And I wasn't sure I could handle that again. Within 24 hours, we had signed the line, and we had purchased the farm. We were going one direction, and God moved us. Turn to Psalms 40. It's a scripture that spoke to me in that first time we were waiting on from the first farm to the second farm. But again, God did what this scripture says. Psalms 40, verse 1, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." First, David says, "I cried to the Lord, and he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. He established my directions." And verse 3, it says, "He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." And when God does this thing, he says, "Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." So many people knew our situation this past time. And it was a blessing to the people that were able to sell and a blessing to us. And the whole Lebanon community was praising the Lord. I walked into a veterinarian meeting the week after, and my veterinarian, which I don't normally discuss spiritual things, was his first comment was, "It was a God thing." That's the kinds of things God says, "Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." God wants to do things so that he gets the glory. And so my encouragement is maybe you're in the valley this morning, count on a joy. Thank the Lord that you are there. Look for the things that he wants to teach you. And trust in a God who can raise the dead. Just grab a hold of that and walk and wait, because you're going to soar like an eagle when the time comes. What to do when you don't know what to do? Trust in a God who can raise the dead. May the name of the Lord be honored.